There was a famous professional musician who was performing a stirring concert in a grand audience hall on an antique organ. And it wasn't your typical piano today or an electrical organ. This instrument was very old. So old, in fact, that it was operated by the airflow from bellows that were arduously hand-pumped by a little boy behind the stage, unseen by the entire audience. And the first half of this performance was a smashing success. The audience was thrilled by the musician's ability at the keyboard of this old instrument. They gave him a rousing standing ovation that lasted for several minutes. After reveling in all of the grand applause of the crowd and bowing several times, the musician triumphantly walked off the stage for the few minutes of intermission. There was the boy waiting for him with just the biggest grin on his face. And he said, "We played well, didn't we?" To which the musician smugly replied, "What do you mean, we?" After a few minutes, the musician reemerged to great fanfare, seated himself on the bench as if he were ascending his throne, and he lifted up his hands and powerfully brought his fingers down to the old keyboard. Nothing came out. No music. Not a sound but the thud of his fingers on this lifeless instrument. With a perplexed expression, he looked around the audience, just sat in stunned silence, and all that could be heard was a tiny voice from behind the curtain that said, "Now do you know what we means?" Working together, cooperation, teamwork, the value of relationships, and accomplishing a common task. That is the essence of our key verse for this year as we try and make 2008 a year of growth. We have frequently gone back to Paul's letter to those in Ephesians where he talks about how God had a plan from all eternity, and he's provided all that is necessary for success within that plan. He has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. That's teamwork. Cooperation. That's many different members working together towards a common goal. One of the goals, as he says in the 15th verse of that passage, is that we are to speak the truth in love. And as we do that, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working, that's teamwork, that's cooperation. Those are relationships dedicated to accomplishing a common task. When each part is working and working properly, the result is that the body grows so that it builds itself up in love. We had read in our hearing from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the idea of teamwork and cooperation. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Did you open your Bibles back there to Romans chapter 12? We pick up in the 4th verse of Romans chapter 12 where Paul continues to use this basic analogy. As in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. He goes on to describe what that looks like, how that acts. He begins in verse 9 by encouraging those members to let their love be genuine, and you abhor what is evil and you cling to what is good. You love one another with brotherly affection. You show zeal. Don't be slothful in that, he says. You be fervent in spirit. You serve the Lord. You rejoice in hope. You be patient in tribulation. You be constant in prayer. You contribute to the needs of the saints. Your fellow members, you seek to show hospitality. That's one of our goals. It's a new month. And one of our goals for each month of this year is to show hospitality, to be mindful of our brethren, and to try and grow in our sense of membership by seeking to show hospitality. I didn't come up with that. Our elders didn't come up with that. That's straight out of the Scriptures. We are all individually members of one body. You be mindful of each other. You spend time together. Let me encourage you to dedicate yourself to doing that in the month of March. Be members one of another. We often talk about this idea of membership. We speak of placing membership or withdrawing membership. We ask, is he a member of that particular congregation? Or how many members do you have? But what does it mean to be individually members one of another? American Express tells us that membership has its privileges. And maybe that's the way that I look at membership. I'm going to say that I'm a part of this group and I want to know what you're going to do for me. I want to be a member and I want to get all of the privileges, whatever those are, of being a part of this particular group of people. We use that word membership in so many different contexts, in so many different frames of mind, that perhaps we've lost sight of what it means. We've allowed it to be emptied of its original meaning. Do we understand those implications this morning? Membership. Some hear that and associate the terms with paying dues and meaningless rituals and silly rules and handshakes and having your name on some dusty roll. You know, we can be members of all different kinds of clubs and business organizations and fraternities and networks. Isn't this kind of like being a member of the Rotary Club? You know, you attend the weekly meetings and you abide by the rules of the club and you pay your monthly dues. And when I do that, I'm a member. And I'm not going to fail to do those things because I don't want my membership revoked. I want to stay a member. And my son, he's a member of the Boy Scouts, and we got our girl involved in the Girl Scouts very early on. And we've done the 4-H thing in the past, and we're active in the PTA. And our kids hopped in with Junior Achievement. And my wife, she sends a check every once in a while to the Red Cross. And she's done that walk a few times for the American Cancer Society. In my spare time, I like to be involved with the Toastmasters, and I've carried a membership at the local country club for years. I'm a member. I know what membership means. It means something to me. It means something to my family. Same thing when it comes to the church. You know, you figure out what offers the most, what the most privileges are that are available, and whatever's going to be most convenient, and what they're going to do for me and my wife and my children. And I'll do my best to be here as often as I can and pay whatever dues you say I need to come up with, and whatever the rules, I just want to belong somewhere. Just like I do with all of these other networks. There are a lot of good things that go on in our society. We can get our children involved in a number of different civic opportunities, and we can be involved with everything from Habitat for Humanity to the inner city soup kitchen. But if I'm not active, if I am not an active, healthy, life-giving, dependable member of the body of Christ, it doesn't matter all of those other things that I do. Something is missing. I may help to produce healthy and wealthy, good, intelligent citizens for our great nation. But what happens if those people die without knowing the Savior? I may show my interest in my children and their school life by serving as the president of the PTA. But what happens if I never convey the importance of membership in the body of Christ? I may run for the cure every single year, but if I'm not running the spiritual race, do you see how something of critical importance is still missing? Listen to me this morning. Being a member of the body of Christ isn't like being a member of the Rotary Club. It is only the work of the kingdom of Christ which will stretch on beyond this temporary world into the realm of eternal significance. The Red Cross cannot bring souls into Christ. The country club is not the pathway to eternal life. Is it that we shouldn't be involved in any of those things whatsoever? Not for a moment. We live in this world and we're a part of its workings, and we ought to do whatever we can to strive and make it a better place. But how desperately we need to understand, all of us, that everything else is pointless if the work of the kingdom is not done. Nothing else matters if I am not a member of the body of Christ. That is so much more precious than attending weekly meetings and paying dues and having my name on some roll. It's finding my place in the story that we've been talking about so far this year, the story that we sung about this morning, when we perceive the state of alienation in which the soul from Thee, O God, was lost. We must believe by heaven's ordination, our Lord redeemed and paid the bitter cost. Lord, I do believe. And I want to find my place in that story. I want to live in accordance with Your eternal plan as the Creator. If you have your Bibles, turn them back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we had a section of Paul's letter already read in our hearing. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, where Paul encourages us to understand whatever else you're involved in this life, if you're not a part of the body of Christ, you're missing the fundamental piece of your existence. Why you are here. You have been created to be one part of something larger than yourself. In one spirit, he says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, we were all baptized into one body, whomever we are, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. You were listening to Paul's reasoning. Can you picture someone as all nose, or all ears, all eyes, all mouth? No, those are just one of many members that all work together within that one body. We turn our Bibles back to John, the Gospel of John chapter 15, and we'll pick up in the fourth verse of the chapter. Just as our physical bodies work together in unity and harmony, so should the spiritual body. We work together under the direction of Christ. our head. It is He who directs us. He Himself tells us that in John 15 and verse 4. You abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. But Lord, You don't understand. I'm a part of this club and this organization, and I support this cause, and I do my best to promote this and this and this in the community. Jesus says, that's all well and good, but you've missed the biggest piece of the puzzle. If you are not abiding in Me, if you are not clinging to Me as a branch does to a vine, you can do nothing. It doesn't matter what you accomplish in this life. It doesn't matter your credentials. It doesn't matter your resume. At the end of your life, if you are not abiding in Him, you've missed it all. The body apart from the head is powerless. It's useless, lifeless. That's true spiritually. Paul warned those saints in the city of Colossae about not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If I don't have a relationship, a right, healthy relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, I'm missing it all. You turn in your Bibles with me back to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. What does membership in this body mean? How is this different from the PTA and the country club and the Rotary Club? It means, number one, that we depend upon one another. No one can function effectively alone. Staying connected to the body is essential to prevent death and decay. My physical body depends a great deal on my right hand. I eat with it and I type with it and I write with it. I shake hands with it. I use it hundreds of times every single day. But if it gets cut off from the rest of my body's going to keep living. But my hand will die. Someone says, I don't need the church. I get by fine without it. What I'm saying is, I can cut myself off from the spiritual body and I'll be okay. My friend, your Creator, your Savior, your Redeemer says, you're mistaken. In His wisdom, in accordance with His eternal plan, He has provided something larger than you as an individual. Why? Because we as human beings, as fellow citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we need each other. Membership means that the head asks me to be a working part of the body. You have a strength and a talent that can be used to serve God within this group. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 speaks of the whole body and how it is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped when each part is working and working properly. You know what that means? That means that you have a strength. You have a talent that can be used to serve God, can be used to build up this body. Peter made the same point in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As each has received a gift, you use it, and you use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles or utterances of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. You see where the glory belongs here. It is not within individual members. If you stand up and you speak as God would have you to speak. You would speak what God has revealed. If you serve, you do it so that God is glorified in everything. that He may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I ask you to mark 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you'll turn back there. What does membership in the body mean? It means that the head is asking me to be a working part of the body. Yeah, but I'm not like Gordon Price. I wouldn't be missed. I'm not like Michelle Butt. I won't be missed if I'm not a part of the body. And you look at what Bob Davis does. There's nothing that I can do that's as important as that. And you look at how someone like Donna Baker, how involved she is. And I can't do what Greg Gruenwald does. Now, that's the truth. I can't. Many of the things that Greg is able to do. But, you know, I'm not him, and I'm not Donna Poyette, and you look at what Dan Joy can contribute, and you look at what someone like Sherilyn Moore does, and you look at someone like Richard Glass, what he has accomplished, and Dolly Jones and Elva Winters, the impact that they've had, and, you know, I'm not John Bestoso, and I could never do what Chuck and Joanna Greenwald have been able to do. Are you listening to the Spirit's admonition? If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? I don't say, because I'm not David Pike or Nancy Wade or Ed Moore or Jessica Shaner, that I'm not a part of the body. The point is, everyone here is a part. And if everyone here did what David Pike can do, who would do what you and you alone can do? The body is held together by that which every joint supplies. And if you don't do what you can do, the whole body is impacted. Why? Because the body is only as strong as the combined strength of all its individual members. Therefore, if this body is going to be as strong as it can be, you have a part. You must do your part. Because when you don't, the body is weaker. What does membership in this body mean? It means that not only you, but everyone else is a working part of this congregation. This brother may not be able to do what you're able to do, but they provide something that you don't. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 21 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." I don't say, well, they aren't what I am. And when it comes right down to it, are they really that important? Old sister so-and-so, she never has taught a Bible class. She sure isn't much help around here. And I sure wish brother what's-his-name would just at least lead a prayer. But he won't even do that. I imagine that we could do without him all right. Every single member in this room is needed. Even those who are not in this room bring greater strength to this body. In verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body. God has a plan. And He's composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If there is someone you believe is weaker, who doesn't add all that much to the congregation, you take it upon yourself to catch them doing something right and helpful, and you honor them for it. It doesn't someone who just doesn't receive the recognition they deserve for their hard work, and few know anything about it. You recognize them for it, and you thank them for it. It doesn't have to be with fanfare or some kind of an award ceremony. It may never be announced from behind a pulpit, but you simply say a word of kindness, praise, and encouragement. You appreciate the work that they're doing. You start catching people doing right, helpful, good things. You praise them for it and encourage them in it. And you watch as their work improves. The way that Paul says, you love one another with brotherly affection. You outdo one another in showing honor. If we take that seriously, if we strive to literally outdo one another in showing honor, and we're all honoring those around us, everyone is honored. Everyone strives to improve. And when we're all improving, what's going to happen? We'll grow. What is there to do? Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. What's your gift? What's your talent? Your special ability? Your passion? Can you cook? Can you cook for somebody else? Can you cut grass? Babysit? Visit the sick? Write a card of encouragement. Make a phone call to let someone know that you do care. Can you do that? Can you teach a Bible class? Can you lead a Bible study in someone's home? Can you have people into your home? Can you fix a car? Can you build things? Do handyman repairs? Can you shake the hand of a stranger and introduce yourself? Can you pray with other people? Can you pray for other people? Can you help to hold others accountable to God's Word? Can you help someone else grow spiritually? Can you warmly welcome someone who is visiting our assembly this morning before you leave? Can you make sure that they got a visitor's packet? That they had the opportunity to sign a visitor's card? Make sure that they understand where children's classrooms are and restrooms and things like that. Can you give someone a ride in your car? Can you make Joe a new infant in Christ? Can you make him feel welcome as a new member of this body? Can you offer advice? Can you reach out to a member who is hurting, struggling, spiritually slipping? Can you offer just a shoulder to cry on? Paul in 1 Corinthians says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. You need to grow towards that ideal. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You can't impact what everybody else does. On the day of judgment, you won't answer for what he did or what she did or what he left undone or what she neglected. But you will answer for the way that you used your talents. Your abilities, your opportunities. To make this as practical and easy as we possibly can, we've included back on the visitor's table and we'll hand out as people leave a basic plan. 35 days, the next 35 days throughout the month of March into the first Saturday in April, where every single day, every single one of us can do some basic thing. This morning or today, the basic admonition is just to pray for God's blessing and direction in your life. Do that today. And then tomorrow, can you imagine as all of us pray for God's blessing and direction in the life of our congregational family? Tuesday, the encouragement is to send a card or an email or a call to one of our members who is hurting. You can think of people who are, without even me mentioning them. If you can't think of anybody, ask around, ask me, ask one of our elders. Throughout the month, basic things. Pray for our elders on one day. I'm asking you to pray for me on one day. We're supporting Francis O'Keefe in evangelistic work in Uganda. One day we've asked everyone, if you have access to email, send him an email. We've got his email address right here. We have fellowship, spiritual sharing in that work. Let him know that we as a body care. Whomever you are, do what you can. Be like Dorcas, who we read about in Acts chapter 9, who was full of good works and acts of charity. When she had passed away, there were widows who came to Peter weeping, and they showed him tunics and other garments that she had made while she was with him. She didn't do everything, but she did what she could. She didn't serve everybody, but she served who she could. And you know what? I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can't help everybody, but I can help someone. That's all that God expects me to do. To use what I have. To remember that I am one part of something much larger than myself. May we realize that we are members one of another. May we take seriously that attaining unity and enjoying harmony in the one body, it takes work. And it requires effort. It demands self-discipline and a will that says, it's not about me. It's not about the privileges that I get from membership. The body is bigger than me. It's bigger than my personal preferences. The cause is greater than my own opinions and ideas. May we continue to grow in a spirit of love and harmony. Then one day, like that little boy, we can say, we played well, didn't we? Take your songbooks and you turn back to the song of encouragement that's been selected. We encourage you this morning, if you are not a Christian, if you have not taken up your place in the great story of redemption, if you have not taken advantage of the sacrifice of Jesus, why not this morning? You recognize that He came to this earth not to die for things He had done, but to die for the sins of all of the world. We can sing this morning, though your sins be as scarlet, because He gave His life for us. Just before He ascended to the heavens, He told His apostles, you go into all of the world and you proclaim the gospel to every creature. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Paul, much later, talking with those who were part of the body of Christ, said, in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Just the body of the New Testament. That's all that we want to be. We just want you to be a Christian. Jew or Greek, slave or free, to drink of that one Spirit.